Let's go look at that scripture we looked at yesterday as a starting point. John 14. Everybody there?
Where are we going? I was trying to find 14, page 1118.
Verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. That day is the mystery day. In the first century, the mystery day was Pentecost, because that's when they knew . But in their counting of the Omer, the purpose of counting the Omer for the disciples was that they would be empty on Pentecost. That there would be no more thoughts, no more action, no more about anything except what Jesus had promised them. Pentecost. That's probably the first time and probably the only time the counting of the Omer was complete. Because for the disciples, in order to receive the fullness of God's promise, they had to be totally gone, empty. Because God doesn't want salvation. He doesn't even want reconciliation. Those are just parts of the puzzle. But the purpose of everything, of Jesus and of the disciples, and Pentecost, all the feasts, everything we study, is this mystery of union. I and the Father, you and me, and I in you. Now, he's not in you to help you, he's in you to replace you. And that replacement has to be total. But it takes a long time, it seems, in these modern days, because we have fallen so far from what the counting of the Omer means. So we think Pentecost is so you can speak in tongues or, you know, some other part of it, but not the fullness of it. Let's go to Philippians 3. Anybody have any thoughts, comments on anything?
I just have one. Remember a few weeks ago I told you that am often is in italics? There's one place where it's in italics. And I know it seems like a small thing, but it jumps out at me.
Where? Oh, you verse 20?
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
It changes the tone somehow to leave am.
Well, it just makes it clearer.
Yeah, it's so pristine that way. And am is not a bad word in any sense, other than here, taking it away, magnifies something in here.
All right, Philippians 3.
Just me.
Verse 7. Again, we studied this the last couple days, but I don't want to do it again.
Verse
what things are gain to me, or were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That is a statement that it doesn't have any italics in it, but it's as big as it gets. No matter what it is, whether it's health, whether it's you gaining something or getting something, even you understanding something, whatsoever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Because the anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. Because the fullness of Him is already in you. But something is keeping that which is in you from being revealed. Let's see what this says. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. To be conformable unto His death is you have to see that at His baptism, as Son of Man, He died. That's the meaning of baptism, to be buried. And so for us, and I pray, and this is why we're emphasizing this, because we're getting ready in the not too distant future for Pentecost. I want you to see from God's perspective the importance of emptiness on Pentecost. Because otherwise, we are so evil, our minds are so totally and completely evil, that we will somehow keep it, we'll somehow cause whatever this mystery is to have something to do with me. And that's why this preparation for it is to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found of Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And there the law doesn't mean just the law here. It's the nous, the way a thing works. Cause and effect. Reward, punishment. Being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, He couldn't attain the resurrection of the dead in Him until He was conformed to the fellowship of His death, the death of Christ. Paul had to be conformed to that fellowship. Now, this isn't easy. This isn't a thing that you can claim. It took 21 years before Paul wrote his first letter. It took 100 years before Abraham saw the day of him, Christ, and was glad. And all those other evidence of time. But the lesson is, for Isaac, it took no time. Because Isaac died on that mountain, on Mount Moriah.
Yeah, Paul is even saying that he hasn't even...
Right, we're going to get that in a minute. Because, again, we will do anything and everything to keep us alive. We will twist scripture. We'll memorize half scriptures. We'll ignore the ones. We'll do everything in our mind to find me in the scripture. You're not there. Except as dead. Now, what does it mean to be dead? What does it mean to be conformed to his death? And I'm sorry that we have to bring this up again, but his death was the death of his mind. That's what it had to be. That's why, from then on, Christ did nothing of himself, nothing from himself. That's the pattern. Once this mystery of union is seen, then you can't go back. You can't return to the flesh. By any means, I must be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or fully tested. Remember, perfect is the word teleos. It doesn't mean what we think perfect means, because we put an image with perfect. It means fully tested, so that nothing in time and space can take you away from this mystery, even for a second. You'd rather die than resurrect yourself. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's everything in time and space, everything that has defined you as a human being. Everything that you used to love, everything, forgetting everything. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. The only thing is before is a fuller understanding of the resurrection of Christ. A fuller manifestation of it, I should say. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be fully tested, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Can you believe the incredible, to be you followers together of me? And then he says this incredible thing. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, who give breath to earthly things. We want this mystery of God to be revealed fully. We want to behold and see the power of God. But yet we want to keep us too. I'll just keep a little bit. You can't keep a little bit, because the evil one is resurrected from the dead by a little bit. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, or manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change or transfigure our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. But can you close the doors? His air conditioner came on, or can the air conditioner off, or both?
Both? No.
He doesn't subdue all things to himself by any other thing than his humility. He will never violate you. He's not going to force you into something, because he knows that from God's perspective, obedience isn't doing what somebody tells you to do. True obedience is doing what God wants us without him telling us. Because we are one with, in union with, I in my Father, you in me, and I in you. There's no thing else. There is nothing that is more radical than what I've said this morning. That's why you be hated of all men. Why? Christians aren't hated by anybody. They just think they're fools. Because they mix with the world system. They're just another thing. From a spiritual standpoint, the question is always, if you are on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You see, he only occupies where you're not. That's the power of his humility. So if in anything you're there, then he just lets you continue until you come and see the stupidity and futility of it. Because that's the only time repentance is possible. Then you can't repent if you think something has value. Does anybody understand that? You can say you do. You can say all kinds of words about this. Well, you know, I won't go into a whole word to say, but I mean, it's you're just kidding yourselves. You must be gone that he might live. That there be true union. There's not even a breath of space between you and Christ and the Father. You are one. There's not even a micron of space between. But the way to the flesh is constantly getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. Why many are called, but few are chosen. Any response? I didn't even get to where I wanted to get this
morning. While this connection with the, you know, coming of the Holy Spirit and the union, knowing it's like you'll know this union is.
Yeah, it's not going to be something you read about. It's something that is. There's nothing else. But it costs you everything. But that's the joy. That's the rest. There's no more. It's no more giving importance to anything that used to take you out of the rest. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter whether you're a new believer or an old believer or a middle-aged believer. That didn't work out right. I just met a brand new believer and then I went on that other stupid stuff. It is simplicity beyond simplicity. We didn't have to try to understand it with our mind. Just look around. Look at the palm tree. No, it didn't worry about it. It just is. But we have, because of the fall, the consciousness of self. And so we are the enemy of everything holy. There's no thing you do. I mean, it can't be done in pieces. It either is or it isn't. And it isn't because it says it in here. It is because it's manifested in your death. Not a little bit dead. Dead. So, what's left of the counting of the Omer? If you see that there's anything that you think of is good for any reason, then that's one of the counts of the Omer to seek forgiveness for. Does that communicate? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just kidding yourself. You're just putting a label on on the flesh. There's no labels that can manifest this. It's union. No one has any response?
Well, if I were the Antichrist.
don't have to figure it out. You just be a captive consciousness of self.
No, that's a good question.
What?
If you were the Antichrist, how would you pull it off? How would you make this thing work for you?
You give you self-consciousness. That's the whole point. And then try to make self-confidence. Try to keep self-confidence, consciousness as being okay while you die.
Yeah, the way I was thinking about it was like I'd take the best scriptures I could pull together and I'd agree with them and say these are the right ones. This is the ones you got to do. And that would make me feel like I was really a good Christian because I used the book to say the right things. And that would convince me that I was doing it correctly. As if I were the Antichrist.
Well, that's exactly what it's doing. Among other things, but the fundamental flaw is self-consciousness.
Yeah,
that's what creates everything else.
Exactly. And I'm speaking honestly from my point of view. That's exactly how I would save my life. I would use the Bible scriptures to do it. But you know, I see you come to a point. The scriptures take you to that point, but you don't escape death.
No, it's because otherwise you do. It's just sorcery.
It's like Simon Magus. He wants the Holy Spirit without that union.
Right.
And the union only happens with death.
That's right.
Death and resurrection.
Right, but it's not a little bit of death.
Yeah.
It's not a little bit of abandonment. It's total.
I think I can identify with Paul because he knew scriptures completely, but he still said he was chief of sinners. How do you be chief? Well, by what I just said, you use the best you can pull together with your mental capacities to refine the gospel to the finest points, and then think you've arrived. You know, use that as your.
He counted those things as done.
Right.
Yes.
All his learning and
right.
knowledge, and you know that was not. I mean, obviously he used that to talk to his fellow.
It doesn't nullify the scripture.
But he recognized that that was not life.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I'm sure it was everything.
He killed to
protect that.
See what? Every once in a while, with me, I consider what would happen if I had just went at that point of. Of hearing, I mean, and seeing, and everything else. had there been anything in the world left for me that was attractive, I would have tried to use it. Use that experience, that whatever just happened to me, to help to enhance what I thought was important, you know. But that's the big thing that I'm eternally thankful for. That I had lived enough to know that there was nothing in time and space that was attractive to me.
Yeah.
You would have had a nicer group of people to talk to over the years.
Huh?
You would have had a nicer group of people to talk to.
Yeah, man, a lot years. Bigger group.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you said earlier, that made repentance not a I'm sorry time, but it was like there was nothing there to pursue. You'd already pursued it, saw it was nothing. Why would you go back?
Yeah, I mean, that's. But the point is, that's the only way you can repent, when you see it as nothing. Otherwise, you're just kidding yourself.
Exactly. There's no.
And I don't want you to go around repenting of you if you still think you got some good stuff. As long as you think there's anything good about you, God help you see the truth. Oh, I've got this, I've got that, I've done this, I've done that. That's all crap.
I was thinking Paul always would come up against the fact that he had killed or in prison or whatever. You know, I don't know what he actually was doing, but probably, you know,
he killed
some people killed in charge of Stevens, or he was Stevens
stoning.
And it's like, you know, you start down the road of thinking you're good, and you always run up, if you're honest, you run up against something like that, and you go throw it out.
Yeah.
There's no cheese up that tunnel.
But it's, let's make this Pentecost real. Really get baptized. Don't just get wet again. Baptism is your burial, never to be resurrected again. Amen?
Amen.
You're doing it, Gary. What are you musing about now?
I don't want an agenda. It'll happen. Just forgive me. I think.
All right. Take it, big guy.